All right. Okay, one more time. So the mission introduces the prohibition of selling in cases when you're allowed to sell perotviet with measurement in volume, weight, or number. Okay. Yerushalmi says why? Answer one, so that you will sell it cheaply. Answer then the Gemara says, what do you mean? If you want to sell it cheaply, just sell it cheaply, right? Give a discount. What's the big problem? Second answer is so you sell it. So you're not mivazet it, right? So you don't degrade the kodesh. So we said structurally you have to ask, is this one answer? Meaning, it introduces zol, and then it says that's not sufficient to explain all the evidence. The Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. This is part of a broader answer. And both of these answers contribute to a single unified answer, which is more nuanced and complex than simply to sell it cheaply. Or is it two separate answers? And if it's two separate answers, it could either be answer one, rejected in favor of answer two. So it's not a problem of kadeshim kru bezol, but rather so that you're not mivazet, or it's additive, which is simply saying that you have to sell it cheaply is not sufficient to explain all the evidence, but there's a second additive reason. There's a second reason that explains the other evidence, right? Those are the structural possibilities, okay? From then we move to the mefarshim, and obviously as we answer the structural ones, we answer the content ones, which is what is the nature of the Isser. So if we started with the Marafolda says these answers are two separate answers and they are additive, right? There are two things you want to do. One is to encourage people to charge less for Perot Shviit, which is an independent value, right? Presumably because even when you're allowed to sell it, well, we haven't yet explained it, but now let's maybe talk about it, right? Why would you say that there is a value to selling it cheaply? Right, presumably something like, even though there are certain cases in which you're allowed to sell perot shviit, in general there's an isser schora, which we will talk about, right? Because it's supposed to be hefker, and therefore, obviously, when you were using it, it's not that. One of the ways that you indicate that this is a different type of a sale is that when you sell it cheaply, okay? But then the Gemara says, right? And then in that sense, it could be there that, right, exactly. That this comes from what the other mefarshim say. Now, why would you say in some cases, that's not sufficient? So the Gemara answers, because selling cheaply is not enough. Because sometimes selling cheaply will make it not business-like, but sometimes it will, because it's on sale. Sales are something that you find, right? It's a loss leader. It's something like that, right? Whatever the case may be, right? And therefore, right, I just bring in the case of loss leader, not just because I want to teach you a little bit of economics, but just to point out that you could even have things where if you didn't know much about economics, you might really think that the fact that it's that cheap shows you it's not business, right? And sometimes that's true, right? Sometimes that's true. Let me give you an example, right? When you have, look, when you let's say donate money, right? Sometimes you'll get a present, right, in return, right? Now that money, right, in that case, they're giving you much less than you give them, right? And everyone understands what's the reason, because it's not really a transaction, it's not a sale. You're donating money, they're giving you a gift, right? There are times when there's transfer of money, right? Right. Sometimes, I don't know, it could be, I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a case where something is really, really, really cheap, and that's because it's not a business deal at all, right? That's the opposite thing. Whatever, whatever, right? Right, it's like sometimes you'll have this as a technicality, right? Like in certain places, if you get a gift from your employer, right, so then it counts as salary, right, because it's a bonus. So what they'll do instead is they won't give you a gift; they'll give you a gift, and you'll pay like a dollar for it, right? Like they won't give you a straight out gift; they'll give you a discount. Right, but what they're really doing is giving you a gift. It's like, we will subsidize your vacation for you. If you pay $50, we will give you a week vacation, right? Why do they do that? Sometimes it's tax reasons, right? It's Well, that's a sale, so bad. Right, but in this case, I mean, what does the company want to do? They want to make it not a bonus. They want to make it a present. They don't want to make it a salary, right? But sometimes for a technicality, you have to... I don't know. Right, you make it busy, whatever. But the point is that sometimes there's... Right. But here, right, but the point of a loss leader shows that sometimes... Right, because in that case, you look at it, you say, oh, clearly, they're not really making you pay for the vacation. Right? What they're really doing is giving you a free vacation. Right? There's a technicality they have to pay. Right? So in that case, you would say that's really a gift. Right? But a loss leader, my point is that sometimes you really pay a lot less and it's still clearly business. Right? That it's still clearly business. And that's why when the Gemara says it's not enough to sell cheaply, right? The Gemara then gives a second reason, which is right? And then we had a little bit of a question with the Marafolda. What does he mean? Does he mean that the act of selling it in a normal business way, right, meaning through measuring and the like, is itself degrading? Right? Or that we're worried if you sell in a normal way, you will end up degrading it because you'll forget that it's Perut Shviyat. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. That was Marafolda. We had seen the Pnei Moshe on the Mishnah. The Pnei Moshe thought that how many answers are there?
One.
There's one integrated answer. Which is shelo nireh kisocher. You don't look like you're treating this. You're not commodifying it, right? You're not treating it as merchandise. So then we asked within the Bnei Moshe, is it what Mordechai is saying, what Kobe said? Is it marad ayin, right? Like it looks wrong, right? It's really mutter, but it looks wrong, right? Or what I would suggest is he doesn't mean that. He means that the point of Perut Shviyat is that they are not commodities. When you start making it look like that, the problem isn't that people think you're...
That's how you feel.
Right, exactly. It's not a question. It's not marat ayin. It's a question of presentation, right? No. Marat ayin is when you're not doing anything wrong, but because it looks like you're doing something wrong, it is wrong. What I'm saying, I don't know if it's marat ayin, it's that no, the way you present is itself problematic. Right? Right? Meaning, it would be like, if, right? It's like, let's say you got a present for your parents. Okay? It's a good example that people have. Right? And you're like, I don't know what to get my parents. I know what I'll do. I was planning on spending about $50 on the present for my parents. I will give my parents $50. Right? Many people, not everybody in the world, but many people look at this and what do they say? Yes, and it looks wrong, right? Like, it's one thing if your grandparents give you some spending money, right? It's weird. It looks wrong when you give it to your parents, right? That's not... Now, if I say, what's the problem? When I say it looks wrong, do I mean it's totally fine, but to an outsider, it looks like you're doing something wrong? No, what I mean is that's not the dynamic that you have with your parents, and the fact that it looks wrong indicates that this is a wrong way of approaching the relationship. So I tend to think the Pnei Moshe means the latter, right? Is that by paying and measuring in this way, it shows the wrong relationship, right? Presentation is important here because it reflects something about your approach, your perspective on Perut Shviyat. But let's continue now with the Pnei Moshe on the Gemara, because unlike the Marafolda, who exhausts his treatment of it in the Mishnah, the Marafolda, sorry, the Pnei Moshe continues on the Gemara. So what does he say? Gemara, Lama lo yimkaru b'midah, why aren't you allowed to sell Perut Shviyat by measure? So he says, k'dei shiyimkaru b'zol, so that you'll sell it cheaply. Klomar, mitoch she'no makbir aleihem litzamtzeim, yimkaru b'zol k'deprisha b'manizin. He says, first practically, he says, in what way will making you approximate rather than measure sell cheaply, as I explained to Josh, even though he didn't want to buy it from me, right? The answer is that most of the time when you are estimating, the seller, in order to make a sale, has to undercharge. Usually. Because most people are not stupid consumers, right? And therefore, if I went to Josh and Josh said, I will sell you that bag of oranges, right? I'm not going to sell at the exact price, right? And I'm like, well, I don't know how many oranges are there. So he says, okay, I mean, whatever you know about what it is, I'll give you a good deal, right? I'll give you, I don't know, how much is that worth? Let's say it's worth $5. He says, I don't know exactly. I mean, it's $4, right? Right? I would say, that sounds like a good deal. I mean, maybe it's really worth $5, maybe it's worth $4.50. It might be getting it. Okay, great. Right? If Joshua would say, I'm not sure exactly how much is in here, charge you $7, right? I'd be like, thank you very much. I am going to avoid citrus today. Okay? Lo shefe. Usually, right, when you want to, right, you want to give people a good deal, not a bad deal. You don't estimate. I told him it's true. There are places where that's not true. In Israel, I'm not sure that would always happen, right? The seller would be like, look, it's Shemitah. I can't, you know, I can't work it. I need to make up the money on what I can sell. What? Right. Yeah. So, you can be worried that people would do that, but that's not really how things should work. So he says, so that's the practical explanation. And then he says, V'yishku b'litra v'yimkur b'zol. So he says, okay, in enak v'edal v'yimkur b'zol. He says, if the only problem was literally sell it cheaply, then what? Imken havelei l'cham l'takein shalolam v'yimkur otam b'zol. You have an easier way of doing that, which was tell everyone, sell it at a 10% discount. Okay? Sell it at a discount. Yoter mi'bishar shanim v'lama asur lishkol. Just say, whatever it costs normally, pay less. Okay? Cucumbers are normally, I don't know, right? They range between $1.90 and $3.90 a kilo in Israel.
Why do they change so much?
What?
Why do they change so much?
Season? It's seasonal, right? Israel is seasonal. That's all. And different store. I'm assuming in like the Gush. In Modi'in, I've gone to these makolots that you shop at. It's like $27.90. And like, it's crazy. It's really, it's insane. Modi'in is a very rich city. Things are much, and makolots are very expensive in general compared to supermarkets. So I shop in supermarkets in the Gush. You guys shop at the makolot at the country center. Prices are
very different.
Very, very, very different. What?
I
don't even know where that is.
It's still a makolot.
Which one?
It's not a poultry center.
Oh, the one at the other. Oh yeah, no, that actually has good prices.
That is not that the prices there aren't bad.
Yeah. Anyways, really not the point. So he says if that was the case, you could just do it. So then he says, "V'hu adin de parech al hamido minyan v'chada minayu naket umishani." He says, "What's the answer? Im ata omer kein afu eino noig ben kedusha klomar dimi kol makom chashishu shim yo imkar otan derech mechira shel sharshanim ati lizal zule behu velo yinog behen kedushat shviit afu bimishana hu adamekach." Right now, the interesting thing is that in the Mishnah, the Pnei Moshe seems to say it's one answer. In the Gemara, the Pnei Moshe, for some reason, I don't know how to work this out, I'm not going to start trying, presents it as two answers. Right? Now, I don't know if this is because... What? No, not... No, additive. Right? Right? And right here, he sounds very much like the Mara Fulda. Right? I don't know. When he says, Lo Azi Lizal Zulebi Velo Ninog Ben Min Kedusha Shviit, again, I don't know whether treating it as merchandise is the zilzul, or that he's worried that if you treat it as merchandise, you will end up not, right, you'll end up throwing it in the regular garbage. I don't know which one he means. Okay, so I don't know. I honestly don't know what to tell you about this. I do see, it does seem to me that the simple read is that the Pnei Moshe in the Mishnah, right, takes this as one integrated answer. And in the Gemara, he sounds like the Mara Fulda. I don't know whether he changed his mind. I don't know if I'm misreading the Mishnah. I don't know.
Pretty similar to say additive and to say clarify.
In Achinami, I'm just being a careful reader here. Okay? Fine. Rosh Terilio. Okay? Rosh Terilio says, Lama, look on the Gemara. No, I'm feeling okay? I missed you this morning. You took Benadryl. Stronger than Benadryl. You're forgiven. Okay. The year that Ara and I got married, we spent the summer in Sharon, Massachusetts, which is very, very rural, like very rural, beautiful, but very rural. And after, I have bad allergies in general, and after living in Washington Heights for a few years, which is, you know, the concrete jungle, there is no pollen in the air, right? Right, except maybe from the illegal weed plants that are growing randomly or something like that. But my allergies were terrible, and I had to take Benadryl. I couldn't breathe. And the only mignon in town are 6 and 6:50 in the morning. I have never missed chakras so many times in my life. But like, it knocked me out. It's like taking a sleeping pill. There's nothing you can do. It kills you. But it was the only thing that was strong enough for me to breathe. Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I mean, you take it, it's like, there's nothing you can do. I was like, I don't like missing chakras with a minion. But like, I took it because it breathed, and then like, it's like you're hit by a truck. I get it. Yeah. Okay. What? No, it was really bad. It was really bad. Okay, fine. So the Rosh Tzurillo says, the Chavan Dein Ogdin Ein Mochren Vitzimtzum Velo Mechzik Kisora. So right off the back, when he says, right, so that you'll sell it Bizol, he says, since you don't wrap it normally, and you don't sell it by precise amounts, it won't look like merchandise. Ihachi Yishku Belitra. So he says, why don't you just sell it? So now in the Rosh Tzurillo, he says it's very clear. Right? Right? According to the Rosh Tzurillo, is the Zilzul the very act of treating it as merchandise, or are you not allowed to treat it as merchandise because you'll end up not treating it with Kedushat Shviyit? What does he say? The latter. He's very clear. Look. Again, I'll read it again. He says, Umasik, if you sell it by measure, since you do it the way you do in other years, litle siman, there's no sign, liskor, to remember, that the money has kedushat shviit, and since you're told to sell it not wrapped up, yiskor v'inhog b'damim kedushat shviit, you will end up selling it. You'll end up, right, throwing in the right garbage, right? Or not in the garbage. The yim kor bizol. So according to him, first of all, is it one answer or is it two?
One.
I'm not sure. By the end, it sounds like, at first I thought it was one, but at the end, it sounds like two.
Because it's V.
Right? And, right, V yim kor bizol, right? Meaning, according to him, right, there are two goals. Right, and you'll sell it cheaply, meaning you have to sell it cheaply, and so according to him.
Wait, but he's saying it's the damim that we're worried about with the Kedusha
part? Yeah.
It's really, because everybody else is worried about the Paris.
Right, so what we're worried about is that, yes, very good. So the Rosh really adds a few things. So first of all, he thinks it's additive. He seems to think that selling it as at a lower price is itself valuable, right? Presumably because, okay. But then he adds, and he says, what are you trying to remember? So far, everyone seems to be that you'll either remember to treat the Perot B'Kedushat Shviyit, or this itself is not treating the Perot Shviyit correctly. He says that no, there's an additional thing you're worried about, and that is, meaning additional compared to the other Mefarshim. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, meaning, fine. He introduces another possibility into the equation, which is, A, it's definitely a gzera. Right? It's not that treating it as merchandise is itself degrading. It's that treating it as merchandise will lead you to treat it improperly. But for him, it's not the problem that what are you going to do? Throw the Kedushat Shvi'it Peirot into the garbage. It's that the money you will forget is Kadosh. Right? Because as we said, that one of the halachot, which we will do in the process of the Sugya of Schara, is that when you sell Peirot Shvi'it, even when it's mutter, one of the things that happens is the money becomes kadosh, and now anything you buy with it becomes kadosh as well. Right? So if Josh permitted sales me Kedusha Perish Shviyid, so there's a unique halacha. What happens? The oranges, are they kadosh? Yes. The oranges always stay kadosh, right? The money now is kadosh, and then Josh goes and buys regular non-Kedusha Perish Shviyid potatoes. Now they are kadosh, right?
So, wait. So, wouldn't it be better to sell for less because then you'll have less money to worry about?
Potentially, yeah. Right? He doesn't say that, but it's potential, yeah. Okay?
Good.
So, what do we have so far? So, now we have... So, now if I ask you, okay, why can't you measure it? So, according to several of the Mefarshim, so that you will sell it cheaply is at least a standalone reason, right? According to the Marafolda, that is kept as lamaskana, right? There's an additive, but it's definitely valuable. So now we have to understand it in its own terms. Why is it important to sell things cheaply?
Well, according to the first thing that we saw, is in order that you don't come to lose the kedusha on the fruit. Because he said it was a clarifying.
Meaning what? Right, meaning I think everyone's going to say something along those lines, which is the whole point of Perish Shviyid is that they're hefker, right? Even if we allow you to do business with them, in the end of the day, they're not a commodity, right? And therefore, it's important to sell it cheaper, which is a nod to the fact that they are hefker. This is not a normal commodity, right? I think it has to come in some way like that, well, right? Some version of that, yeah?
Let's just say that answer two was the reason of answer one.
Correct. So the now. You could say this without the Pnei Moshe. In the Pnei Moshe on the Mishnah, he seems to, right, say that if you think the two answers are together, what it'll be, that what do you need to do? You need to show that it is
special.
That it's special, but specifically how? What does he say? Hefker. Yeah. Right? That it's Hefker. That's the point. That's why I think you could come to this explanation whether you think Kedesh Yom Kippur Bezal stands alone or you integrate it. Okay? Now, let's say you take the second answer as a standalone. So now we've seen three possibilities, right? One is treating it as a commodity even when you sell it cheaply is problematic intrinsically. Or treating it as a commodity is a problem because it will lead you to throw out improperly, right? To improperly treat the payroll. Or for the Rosh Relio, improperly treat the kesef.
So nobody
has now, of these answers, okay, how many of these answers seem to be a function of the Isser Schora? Right, and how many of them seem to be independent of the Isser Schara?
Seems like the Rosh Relio and the Pnei Moshe say it's dependent on Schara.
Good. So I think that definitely many of the answers assume that, right, definitely the Pnei Moshe, the way he presents it is he says this whole sugya is a function of the Isser Schara.
Yeah.
Right, then at the end of the day, again, the next sugya we can do is the Isser Schara. But whatever you think the Isser Schara is, at some level, it seems to be a derivative of the fact that Perot Shviyad is Kadosh. Right? Sorry, it's Hefker. Right? That it doesn't really make sense to say that you're allowed to do business with it. That's not how things work. Right? It's not really yours. And even when we allow you to sell it, it has to be clear that this is not a normal commodification. Okay? Right? Again, is it one answer? Is it two answers? They all seem to come back at some level. Right? Or at least part of the issue here is it's about commodification, right? Which is a function of Sora. Now, there may be a secondary point here, right? Which is that we don't want you to treat... Now, the Rosh Relio, even a second answer, that you're going to treat the money improperly. Clearly, this belongs to the world of Sora, right? If the problem is don't sell it normally because you're going to end up treating the money without Kedusha, then it must be a case in which there was a transfer of money, which means that the sugya in some way is a gzera that is derivative of Isser Schora, including the part of the Isser Schora that makes things kadosh, right? So this sugya is at least related to Schora, right? Now, as we'll see, Schora itself is more complicated than we're giving it credit for, but it's definitely a derivative of something to do with Yisro Svara. Right? That seems to be true for almost everybody. Maybe you could say that according to the second answer in the Pnei Moshe, it's not fully, right? I mean, the fact that you can't sell it in certain ways because you'll end up treating the payrot without Kedusha, right? But even that, right, that does seem to be only in the business context. Seems to be, right? The one Mifaresh that people point to say that maybe this isn't true is the Gra. Okay? So first of all, the Gra has a surprising Girsa change, right? Which is, right, according to, right, the Gra changes the Girsa, right? And according to the Gra, his Girsa is very different. What's his Girsa? Vimkur B'yoker. So now let's go back to the Gemara. He reads the Gemara totally, what? Good, so let me read the Gemara. He says, I'll read the Gemara according to him. Lama Kideshim Kuru Bizol. Right? Kideshim Kuru Bizol. Why you can't you measure Perot Shviyat so that you'll sell it cheaply? And then the Gemara says, Vishku Belitra Vim Kuru Bioker. What does that mean? Until now, everyone has read this Gemara as if all you want to do is sell it cheaply, then just sell it cheaply. And he comes along and says, No. He says, no, watch what he does. He says, the reason that you're supposed to not measure it is because we want you to sell it cheaply. And then the Gemara says, wait a second, why? Why do you have to sell it cheaply? This Mishnah is presuming a case in which you're allowed to do business, right? We're letting you sell it. And he says, once we're letting you sell it, then what? Measure it and sell it more expensive. Who cares? Right? Meaning, what is the Gra doing? The Gra says, what's the Hava mean of the Gemara? That the Isser here is the Isser Schora. Right? But then the Gemara says, that can be. Because if it was an Isser Schora, it would be Usser to sell it at all. So the fact that we're letting you sell it shows that it's a case that for whatever reason, you're allowed to do Schora. And he says, if you're allowed to do Schora, then there should be no limits on what you do. Sell it for expensive, sell it by measures. It must be that this is not a function of the Isser Schora, because in the Isser Schora, and we're in a case when you're allowed to sell it, then what difference does it make? Exactly. Meaning everyone now assumed, right? Answer, then what does he say? So what's his answer? He doesn't say. Wait, what's his answer? How does he read the Maskana? So he doesn't explain it. So where does he explain it? Good. So look at if you have the art scroll, it should be on your left-hand side. Right? You see? In the Likud Mishnah Eliyahu, in his prayers in the Mishnah, you have it? Tiny little box? Right? He says, V'yimkru b'yoker, perishu mabekach. Sell it for more expensive, and who cares? Aser lamudba? Sorry. No, I'm sorry. The one before that. Ein mochren v'chulei, hatam v'chulan mishum bizayon. Says it's not a problem of schora, it's just a problem of... Oh, good. So according to the Gra structurally, is it one answer or two? Two. Two. Is it a rejection or... Yes, it's a rejection. Meaning, this is not about selling it for cheap. Right? It's not. Because if it's a case when it's mutter to sell, why should that be a problem? Right? Sell it for more expensive for all I care. You've already solved the problem of the Isser Schora. Rather, what does he say? Measuring itself for some reason is a bizaya.
So saying rejection would work with like all the questions I had too. If you just say if they're rejecting the entire thing about Zol, and it's just about
now, right? The problem is that when you're left with the Gra, are you allowed? Right? Are you allowed to sell based just what we see in theory? Are you allowed to sell it for a higher price?
Sure.
Sounds like it. Once you're in a case in which it's mutter to sell. What? No, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying that the problem has nothing to do with the pricing.
No, but in the Maskana.
Oh, sure. It sounds like in the Maskana, it could be that you'll end up paying more. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? So therefore, what does the Gra say? Why can't you measure it? Because you can't measure it. Because you can't measure it. Why can't you measure it? Because you can't measure it, because it is a bizaya. Now, what's the problem? Why does everyone look at the Gra and not know what to do with themselves?
Because why is measuring a bizaya?
Very good. Why would measuring it be a bizaya? And now, there's two questions. There's why and what. Right? One is why. Why is it a bizayon? Right? And the second question is what? Meaning, what kind of measuring is a bizayon? Very good. Right? You understand why people start wondering that maybe the Gra forbids you to make a cake and have precise measurements? Because the Gra says that measuring is a bizayon. And nobody knows why measuring is a bizayon. So what are the possibilities within the Gra? What? Yeah. I know what I gave you. That's why I gave it to you, right? But I said before we get there, I want you. What did I tell you? I told you I'm giving you this so that I gave you a short makaro sheet so that after you carefully read everybody in the daf, right, you would understand where the question comes from, right? But yes, the question that everybody has is they look at this and they say, wait a second, why is this a bizayon? Right? Because the Gra seems to move away from assuming this is a derivative of Schora to something else. That this is a continuation of the previous Sugya that, if you remember, we spent a very long time on, which was Kedushat Perot Shviyah. That somehow this is a violation of Kedusha. But then everyone says, okay, but what is the violation of Kedusha? Now, even within the Gra, you tell me. You tell me. What's the problem? What are we unsure of when we read the Gra? What the bizayon is. So good, give me the possibilities.
Since you are treating the produce, then it's like you treat produce from all the other 6 years, you might come to dispose of it or treat it in the same way.
Oh, so we don't know that, right? So you're reading the Pnei Moshe and the Rosh Relio into the Gra, which is bizayon kachim doesn't mean bizayon kachim. It means that if you treat it normally, you'll end up being mevazet. Right? Right? That's possible. Right? That's possible. Again, the Gra is like four words, right? And changes the girsa. So you look at the Gra and you're like, I'm not really sure what you want from my life. So good. So Mordechai says one possibility of what the Gra is saying is not this is a bizayon kodesh. It's that if you treat it normally, you might forget that it is perot shviyah. Now, according to this, right, it's possible. So according to this, is it limited to the business context? I don't know. It could go either way, right? Exactly your face. Is on the one hand, you might say no. If you take the Gra to mean similar to Pnei Moshe, so you could say, listen, the point is you can never treat Perot Shviyah normally. Because if you do, you might forget and throw it in the wrong garbage, right? Or you could say, no. In your house, right, you're not worried about that. Because once something's in your house, right?
It's not near it.
Right, I mean, just like in your house, you might have regular food, you might have truma food, right, you might whatever, and you know to treat one with Kedusha, one not, right? You'll do that. But in the business context, if you don't do something different, then you're going to forget, or the buyer's going to forget, or something like that. Good, that's one possibility. But according to Mordechai, Bizayon Kachim isn't intrinsic. It's extrinsic. It's, if you treat it normally, you will forget and end up being Mevazeh Kodesh. What's another way of reading the Gra?
Yeah, it's not about real Kedusha.
It's possible that the Gra literally means that this is a function of the Sugya of Kedusha. And measuring is a Bizayon of Kodesh. But even within that, then you have to ask, well, why is it a Bizayon of Kodesh? And here there are two possibilities, right?
It's not actually Kodesh. It's just as designated specific purposes.
That doesn't sound like that here at all. I mean, no. If you want to say that, then you have to go Mordechai's direction.
Well, it's not designated for this.
No, meaning what Mordechai is saying is, it's... Right, Mordechai's possibility leads to the possibility doesn't really mean Kedusha. Right? He means that if you treat it normally, you might end up not respecting in the way you're supposed to. And then Kodesh... What? For whatever reason. Because it has Kedusha Per Shvira, however you define it. Right? But once you say that, you don't have to say it's really Kadosh. You could say, you're not allowed to throw it out because of Lachal Allah Hafsid. And if you treat it normally, you'll end up throwing it out. Right? And that's a problem. Right? But fine, if you wanted to. But it sounds like the Gra really thinks that the issue is Kedusha. But you might not think like Mordechai that this is a gzera. You might think that measuring itself is a violation of Kedusha. And this sugya is a function of Shvi'it being Kadosh, as we saw in the previous sugya. But then you still have to ask. Yes, Mordechai? Is this building on what I just said, or are you a totally different possibility? I want to know. You can say it as a different one. Fine, just say it and we'll figure it out, yeah?
So, whether or not we're saying that Shvi'it is Kadosh, we all agree that a big function of Shvi'it is that you can't waste time. So, that's across the board. So, the function of measurement is that there's an exact, and then there's going to be a leftover. And it is most definitely a bizonio to think of anything as Shvi'it as a leftover, because we don't treat leftover produce with the same status.
Oh, okay. So what Mordechai is saying is, well, first, let's get behind what you're saying, right? What Mordechai's second possibility is, no, maybe the Gra is saying is that measuring, for some reason, is intrinsically degrading. Intrinsically. Okay? Right? It's intrinsically degrading. Now, Mordechai is suggesting why it's intrinsically degrading. So Mordechai is an interesting suggestion that maybe the very act of measuring, right, leaves you open to the possibility of looking at some as leftover. Right? Because basically, it's like, look, if I know I have a bunch of oranges, right? So I have a bunch of oranges, I'll eat whatever, right? But if I have a pound, and I know that I need 3/4 of a pound for the cake that I'm making, for the challah I'm making, right? So now I'm going to relate to it as, here's what I need, and that's what I don't need.
Then when you buy, you should be able to measure, because then... that way you only take what you need.
Right. So Colby says, Ma pitom. Right, if that was the case, then if I'm going to the store, the exact opposite. Right? I'll measure what I want, and the rest is not leftover. It's for someone else, right? So I'm not sure you're right. But okay, it could be. So here's the problem, that what everyone wants to know in the Gra, and that's I know you saw in the Dark Emotion, I saw is in whatever you think it is, it's an intrinsic violation. Measuring for whatever reason, maybe like Mordechai said, or maybe some other reason, right? Maybe Kedusha is beyond measurement. I don't know, right?
Exactly.
Kedusha, right? Yeah, things that are Kadosh, like measurement, maybe you say that measurement is a type of control, right? It's an expression of control. You never control that, which is Kadosh. I don't know, right? So then Kedusha would be derived to Hefka. I don't know, but he doesn't seem to say that. It seems to be Kedusha, right? But within that, the question you have to ask is, wait a second. Is the problem, is the bizayin of Kodesh only in the context of business? Meaning, measuring in a business context is degrading, right? Or is, for some reason, measuring just degrading, right? That's just a degrading thing to do. You're allowed to eat it. That's what you're allowed to do. But subjecting it to the process of measuring, I mean... that's just degrading. I don't really know why. Right? I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's sort of like, I mean, lahavdil, right? Lahavdil, right? It's the way, lahavdil, mamash lahavdil, right? It's the way we talk about people, right? Relate to people as their whole self, right? It's like the way most people think, I don't know, the way I think it's offensive if on like a shidduch resume it asks how much you weigh, right? Because it's like, come on, they're a human being, right? Lahavdil, like I said, no one yell at me, right? Lahavdil, right? When you do that with people, right, and you start saying, right, you start defining them as you are 5'5" and you weigh this much and, you know, your waist is this many, right? You're like, okay, I mean, they're not a commodity, right? They're, right, that's exactly what we say, right? They're a person, right? They have dignity, they're human beings, right? So lahavdil, you say that, look, measuring peretriot is, you know, it's kadosh. It's a holy orange. It's not a, right? This is not your
it's
0.2. Yes, it's not this number of orange. It's kedusha. This is holiness. Now, if you say that, you might even think, again, you don't have to, but you might think that the Gra will think that this is usher even in a non-business context, right? Because you would say, you're not looking this at this as shviat wheat. You're looking at it as a mere ingredient in your cake, right? Or something like that, right? How dare you? It's shviat wheat, right? It doesn't need to tell you how much there is, right? You want to make it into a cake, fine, but don't measure it. Your cake will conform. Your cake will figure it out. The cake will have to deal with how much of it you put in. I mean, it sounds a little bit weird, but I don't know, right? I don't know anymore. Look, admittedly, once you start personifying and anthropomorphizing the wheat you go in your cake, you're in weird territory. So I understand that I have now gone off the deep end. I get that. Right, or maybe it's that, right? That, right, the way we talk about, you know, you don't count Jews, right? Like, you know, right, you treat like them as the whole, right? You relate to, this is paradox. Oh, that's an interesting thing, right? Maybe it's, right, remember we talked about Kedushat Shviat, right? It's about tapping into the Kedusha of the land, right? Maybe, let's just throw it out there, right? Maybe, look, if you start counting, it's like now you've said this is an orange, right? One orange. It's not an orange that expresses the land. Right? But if I just have the produce of the earth, right? Oh, look at this beautiful produce of Israel, the oranges and the persimmons and the apples, right? This is Israel manifesting itself in produce, as opposed to you saying, this is one orange, right? This is not Israel, this is an orange, right? I don't know. This is one, this is the land encapsulated in a persimmon, right? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Fine. So before we look at the sources I gave you, right? Now I think, right, we have a good, right?
So nobody else is rejecting. It's just the Gerada
side. Okay, so now if you look at the, here. So you just look at the footnote. Right? They summarize a lot of this, right? They note that the Rav Fulda, right? First of all, if you went through the footnotes, they summarize it nicely. And they note that what the Rav Fulda says, right? Similar formulations are found in the Rosh, they're found in the Bar Tanura. He notes obviously that the Rosh Shirilio is different, right? That most Mefarshim assume that whatever is going on, it's for the purpose of the fruit, right, and not for the money, right? But we saw that the Rosh Shirilio was really an outlier here in the sense that he thinks that what you're trying to do is make sure that people treat the money properly. Again, we saw that that's quite the outlier amongst the Shittot here. Okay. Let me just read you the Sefer Nir. Okay. The Sefer Nir is, I think, slightly different. Right. The Sefer Nir says as follows. You don't have it, right? It's only in the Hebrew one. The note references the Sefer Nir, right? Right. Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, in mine it just references it. Okay. Well, I'll read it to you. You can tell me if this is a fair presentation of what you have. So he says. So first he quotes the Gra, and he says, I don't have it, but fine. He says, he says, Yitkenu v'im karenu b'zol k'dei sh'levo l'asut mizeh scholes. The first thing he says is, selling it cheaply will make you not use it for schora. Right? So that seems to be a little bit different, right? Which is not that selling it cheaply ensures they don't treat it as schora, but That you are right. And apparently, what is it saying? That when you sell it, right? If Josh just sells it to me in this case, right? Let's take the classic case. Josh picked 5 oranges and realized he only wants 3. So he's allowed to sell the rest to me, right? What he seems to be saying is that that's not Sora. But, and if he sells it cheaply, then he's not, right? Selling off what you have left over in your house, basically that's saying, listen, just take it off my hands. Give me a token payment. That's not Sora. But if you were allowed to charge a higher amount, what would you do? You'd go to the store. You'd sell it at full price, right? And that would be Sora, right? It sounds like selling it cheaply will prevent you from selling it in a context that would make it Sora. Right, which again, what that would mean, we have to see based on what Skora means. And then he says, "Val ze amar im shikolu belitra v'imkru bezol afu mocher choshev shemocher lo yerg v'im shavim yoter sheidama mocher shezeshen yoter b'tart matana natan lo l'negu dushu b'demayim shesovar she'ena ma'ed chilufeihem." Right, and then he says, if that was the case, then what will happen? Right, so then he seems to say it's a second answer, which is if you do that, then what will happen? People will think that if you measure it, but you sell it cheaply, people will think it's a discount, right? And what will they end up doing? Treating the money, not kadosh, which is Rosh Tzirilio. So therefore, what do we do? That's his first answer, right? Is that if you let someone measure it, even if it's cheap, they'll view it as business and they'll end up misusing the money. Right? Shel yasubim schora means with, sorry, oh, that's what it means. No, I'll go back. He's saying, he holds like the Rosh Tzirilio. And therefore he says, what's the problem? You can't sell it in any way that looks like business because you'll end up using the money wrong. Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Right? So the Sefer Nir clarifies that what he thinks the Rosh Tzirilio is saying is you can't treat it as business because you'll end up using the money improperly. Right, so you need to make it clear from context that it's not the case. His second answer is like the Gra Stam, which is no, you can't treat it in a way that is mevaza the kodesh, right? Which means you have to sell it cheaply and you have to sell it in an abnormal way. Okay. Right, and then the footnote here, right, clarifies what it would mean to have an additive reason, right? At least in mine. Right? Is that okay? Whatever. That's in mind. Fine. What do you have in the Chilufei Girsot?
It brings down the Rosh first day from here. Then it brings down the Ramban. Then it brings down the graph.
Okay, good. Right. So in the footnote. Right? I'll just tell you what it's here, and then we'll look at it. But the footnote here, it notes that in the Gemara, sorry, in the Rambam, there is a similar ambiguity as to the Gemara as whether there is right, so right, so he says, well, okay, I don't know what you have in your footnote, but I'll tell you what I have here, right? First, they quote the Rambam, the Perush HaMishnayot.
This one just says Rambam commentary.
That's commentary to the Mishnah.
Okay.
Right? You know what? This gets confusing for me to tell you what's in the Hebrew one. What in your view? Why don't you tell me? Why don't you just read it to me? Right? Well, what do you? What for you? Does the footnote add beyond what we have already seen?
Okay, I'll just read the paragraph that it quotes in the.
Fine.
Modified to accommodate additional concerns regarding Shia sanctity. Thus, the decree is basically a rabbinic extension of the biblical prohibition against doing business in the street first. The rabbis decreed that even when a sale is permitted, it must be done in a non-commercial manner.
Good. Right? Now, and that's what they quote from the Rambam. That's all they say.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. So, according to the Rambam, it does seem to be that this is a derivative of the Isser Schora. Right? And then they quote the Gra. Right? And then they say that according to the Gra, what emerges, Lamaskana, is what? Is to not be mavazed, it's not about business.
Obviously.
Right? Okay, fine. I mean, it's not obviously about business. Right? Okay, you know what? Judas, right? I think we've covered every position that was in that footnote.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's see. It's already 11:49.
Does anybody else give a rejection? Like, say that the second answer is a rejection?
So do we have time? Yeah, we have 10 minutes. So let's do what's on the sheet, right? At this point, what's on the sheet should take you very quick. Okay? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have here. So first you have the Perush Mishnah and the Rambam. So the Rambam says, Lo yer socher b'peirot shviyot. So it won't look like you're selling peirot shviyot. So again, what does that mean? I don't know. Right? Fine. The Bar Tanura, Kadeshim Krubizol, Inami, Mitoch Shein Mochon, Kadesh Mochon, Shashanim, Inagvim, Kadusha, Shvir, Lazil, Zulebehu. So the Bar Tanura clearly thinks it's two reasons. They're additive, right? And he seems to think like the Marafolda and the Pnei Moshe, that what's the point of the second reason? That you treat the payrot properly. Okay? What I gave you here, the last thing, is Rav Rimon, which I think is a very nice summary, which gets you to it, okay? If you want, I can give you all the things inside, but I do think this is just helpful, okay? So Rav Rimon says as follows. He quotes the Mishnah, quotes the Yerushalmi, right? He quotes the Rosh Cirilio. Yes? And then he says, right in the middle, he says, Levi has bears a yeshnei tamim leisur medida perot shvit. One, k'deishim gubizol. Two, k'deisham ochrim yizkeru shekesef shem mekablim yeshmem k'dusha shvit. Right? According to all this analysis, there's two separate reasons. Lu matzo. Then he says, the Rambam writes, Shatama Isra Kudesha Kniya Lotere Kisocher Beperot Shviit Vichain Kidelodia Lakalsha Paradigm Hefker. The Rambam seems to have a different explanation. And this is the Rambam, it seems to be integrated. Right? The Rambam in the Yad seems to be integrated. He says, Kishamochran Perot Shviit and Mochranton Lobimida Volomishko Lominyan, Kidesh Loye Kisocher Perot Shviit El Mocher Amaacha Mocher Askara, Lodia Shu Hefker, Vlokeh Adam Lot Bahen Ochel Acher. According to the Rambam, it seems to be not two explanations, but one, which is, what is the problem during Shemitah? Treating it as, right, that they're not Hefker. Right, for the Rambam, that seems to be the problem, that everything, selling it more cheaply, selling it not in measurement, is coming to one point, which is, this is Hefker, and therefore is not subject to your control. The Gra says it's Bizayon Kadshim. And now he notes, what's a potential nafkamina? So he says, nafkamina bina ta'amim, tiyeh b'mikresh adam madad perot shvi'it b'beito. The difference between saying this is about business and saying it's about bizayon, which in some way is intrinsic and not related to the business context, is whether you're allowed to measure things at home. Shelo l'tzorch mischari, not for business. Lifi pashtar Yerushalmi v'arambam, according to basically everyone. Right, the Rambam, the Yerushalmi. What would you have said? Are you allowed to measure for a cake at home?
Yeah.
She'ein b'kach isur shari l'shitatam isur medidat haperot kashur b'tivuro l'isur mechiratam. Because the whole point is that the isur of measuring is a derivative of the isur schora. Lumadzot l'fitaymo shel agra l'chora gam medidat kazuk techashek kivizayon v'teaser. But according to the Gra, potentially at least, if it's intrinsic, it would be asur at home.
Can the Gra be read? What you can do in the shuk defines what you can do in the house.
Yeah, presumably, or something like that. So then he says, "L'halacha kata b'shut az nidbaru shemidida she'in l'tzorach mechira muteret." Right. The Rav Zilber says, "L'halacha we pass and it's muter to measure at home." That seems to be the majority view, right? Either for one of two reasons, right? The people who say this say it for one of two reasons. Either they say that the majority of reasons clearly connected to business, right? And therefore we just reject the Gra. Or if you actually look at in some of these Achronim he's quoting, they raise another possibility, which is maybe even the Gra, right? Meaning maybe what does the Gra think?
It's only a business that's profit.
Correct. That the only time that it's a Bizayon Kachim is when you measure it in a business context. If you measure it not in a business context, then, you know, that's not, right? That's not degrading. I'll just read you from the actual piece in the Az Nidbaru, since I have 5 minutes. He says, now, I will point that Rav Rimon thinks the Rambam thinks one reason. Rav Zilber thinks that the Rambam holds that there are two reasons. You could go both ways in the Rambam, just like you could in the Yerushalmi. Okay. You know what? You know, let's do this tomorrow, because now that I'm looking at it, the only reason I want to do it tomorrow is because the Az Nidbaru, again, I don't think this is plausible, but the Az Nidbaru reads the Gra the way that, I think, was it Kobe, who said that if the issue is Bizayon Kachim, you should Dafka sell it more expensive. Was that Kobe? It was, right? So because he's sick, I'm going to hold off. But the Az Nidbaru actually interprets the Gra as saying that the Gemara's question, right? Okay, this is how he understands the Gra, but we'll go into it more. He thinks of the Gra as saying, listen, selling something cheap is disgraceful, right? And therefore, it can't be that what you're trying to do good is get someone to sell it cheaper, because, right, that's wrong,
yeah.
Right? It's Kodesh. You should treat it as holy, right? And therefore, the Gra says that's why he thinks that it's intrinsic to measuring, right? That's one possibility the Az Nidbaru raises for the Gra. So we'll come back to that one, but I'll read you this one. We'll read you, but we'll explore this more if Kobe comes. Remind me, put it this way: if Kobe is not sick tomorrow, remind me to bring this reason up, since it was his. At the end, the reason that Rav Zilber is makel is for two reasons. One is because the majority of Mefarshim clearly hold that the Isser Medida is a function of the Isser Sara. But then his second is that maybe even according to the Gra, when he says it's a Bizayon Kodesh, he doesn't mean that measuring is a Bizayon Kodesh. What does he mean? That a sale that's done through measuring is a Bizayon Kodesh, right? In which case, even the Gra might be, right, and therefore he says, "Ain't an Isra Mishkal Isra Gavra." He's saying measuring is not an Isra Gavra. Ela Israel Etzama Mechira Lo Chashiv Misha Shokel. Right, right. Meaning it's that the sale should be done. And what's his proof? His proof is as follows. Right, it's a classic Maisa Kof proof. He said, "What would happen if you trained a monkey to right? It's what we call right a Maisa Kof. Right, what would happen if you trained a monkey to measure the Perot Shviat and then you sold it? Right." Right. The point is that his point is that it doesn't seem to be that the act of measuring is problematic. What is it? It's the sale of that which was measured. And therefore, you had a monkey measure it and then you sold it. Presumably, that would be a Bizayon Kodesh also. Because it sounds like the prohibition isn't what? Right. Isn't the measuring. It's the sale of that which is measured. Right. And therefore, even within the Gra, it's not clear. Right. It's not clear within the Gra that the Isser is measuring itself. It could be that the Bizayon is still in the sale. It's just that measuring is intrinsically problematic in a business context, right? So that's why, in the end of the day, most poskim are makel. Maybe we'll spend a few minutes on the Derech Emunah tomorrow. Hopefully, Kobi will be feeling better, and we will spend a few minutes on Rav Zilber's explanation, other explanation of the Gra, and then we will talk a little bit. Do you want me to give it to you inside or outside? The other nafkamina, which is when you're buying from non-Jews. Do you want me to? Do you want to do that inside? So maybe I'll give it to you because I think it is a little bit helpful just to see, right? Because that will get us into the next sugya, which is the Isser Schora. What exactly is the nature of Schora? Is it on the buyer? Is it on the seller? And then we'll move. And then tomorrow, just to polish it off, just read to the end of Halacha Gimel, which is pretty technical, but just since we already started the Halacha, let's do it. And then we will probably wrapping up loose ends will take us at least half of tomorrow, maybe all of tomorrow, and then we'll move full into the Isser Schora. If you finish everything, therefore, go to the seventh Perek. And read the first Mishnah, where the Isser Schora is found. And then I'll give you the Sugyot and the Bavli, and we'll spend real time on the Isser Schora, okay?